You may be seated. Say grace and peace, and we move in continuation that which we have for some time now been conveying the spirit, the truth, and the essence of truth, as we ask that you turn again to Romans chapter 8, verses 16 through 18, and also 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11, 12, and 13. And as we move by exposition through a context here, basically, Paul is conveying the operation of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, his commission to convey communications and the thought conveyances of God to our spirit. So that we don't have to ask so much, Lord, what are you doing? What is this about? Amen. Hallelujah. There are many things that they say we don't know concerning God, but there's so much that He has revealed to us until we have a full-time job just receiving the message of the things that He has conveyed and has conveyed to the minds and the hearts of His elect, those whom He has foreknown and elected and called into this glorious relation of son position. We're sons of God. Oh my God. Isn't that deep? Now, Ella Liverman shall be our designated reader this morning. Elder, I want you to turn to read, from the 8th chapter, Romans, verse 16 through 18, and I know some said, Pastor, you move so slow.
Oh, glory to God.
Oh, my God.
Thank God.
This is so important.
Yes.
Until it certainly worth the time and the effort to look closely, deeply into the things of God. Because there's so much out there that can discourage you and put you in a state of fearfulness. I was just looking at the internet. In fact, that's what I use for my news. I watch very little television these days, and I'm not saying anything is wrong with the television. But since I do have the medium of the internet, that's where I get most of my news from. In fact, they even you can click it on, and video will give some illustrations of some of the stories. But as I look, and I basically just took a panoramic view at the things that are going on in the world, called the world news. There's turmoil everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, you're not just having problems. Sometimes we get so caught up, we think that problem just abides in our little domain. Amen. Who's not having problems? Some kind of problem. Amen. It's basically a part of the environment that we're in. We're not only are we depraved, the very existence of our nature, our environment is depraved.
Yes.
The nature of the environment is depraved.
Yes. Amen.
It's oneness. Anything goes right except God is, amen, God is busy.
Yeah.
Because the environment around us is depraved, and depravity is all about chaos and destruction. And the destruction that you see and the turmoil that you see are the things that God has allowed. Suppose he just stepped back and let depravity have his way. Oh my God. I'm so grateful this morning that God is busy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, give him a praise this morning. All right. Everybody got the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 16. I'm going to read the entire 3 verses there. Recapitulate for a second a few things, and then we'll move into our proper conveyance today. All right? Everybody got to say amen?
Amen.
Right? Read or read.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16, 17, and 18.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen. Now, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, you will get this entire document that we are in the middle of. It just continues to grow. But there's so much that the Spirit is speaking to our hearts concerning our lives. And it begins at salvation. This is why we take so much time and we deal with the doctrines of salvation. Believe me, that is life. It is relevant. It is so relevant until it's not funny. It is so relevant until when you look at the relevancy of the things of God concerning his eternal relationship with us, it makes the relevancy of time of such a degree. Now, I'm not saying that the things that we're dealing with on a daily basis are not relevant. Follow me now. But the Spirit is trying to convey unto us that God has prioritized, and the true action is in eternity.
Yes.
And time is just a transitional movement toward what God has, my God, eternally planned for you. And if you don't understand that, and you think that this is what life is, you'll be like some, and I heard of another individual who committed suicide because of things around began to seem so dim and complex, and depression sets in. Amen. Now, but I say unto you this morning, the Spirit of God, he is crying aloud to the children of God, to bring us into subjection of God to the point that we're walking by faith, not by sight. That 16th verse, and I'm just going to recap for a second, reads the Spirit, and reading here from the translation from the Greek text, himself, we went over that, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We know that we are children of God because of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Here the Greek phrase, auto pneuma, the Spirit himself. Amen. He is the vehicle by which our consciousness is both awakened and communicated to, and it is He alone as the medium of God which conveys knowledge in the spiritual realm. And I tell you, whatever is coming from Him is truth, and anything that's to the contrary of what's coming from Him is not truth. Again, it is by God's design that the link of concomitant mind and spirit of a given entity has the capacity to communicate the inner thought conveyances, and of course, the Holy Spirit is the essence of what we have as a communicator. Elder, turn right quickly, everybody, to 1 Corinthians 2, 12. Read from the King James. We're still going back over some things, and I have to overlap. I've been away a couple of weeks, and it's hard to walk right into the middle of a thought conveyance. You have to go back and get something and bring it forward. You all bear with me. I guarantee you I won't be as long as that other preacher. Even I said that in jest. Amen. I listened to the tape and I thoroughly enjoyed it. All right. So the only way for mankind to receive communication from God is there must be an interconnected link of the Spirit of God for our spirits. And 1 Corinthians 2:12 speaks to that. All right, read.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God.
Now, in the Greek text, we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. We might know the things freely given unto us by God. The opening phrase, we have not received the spirit of the world. Amen. Spirit of the world, you know, is formed by the mindset of human depravity. And of course, that's Satan's territory. And the strong adversity conjunction, but Paul says, as he expresses the fact that we have received the Spirit, that is truth, which is from God.
Yes.
Again, it is out of God, it is from God, God is the source.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the latter part of that 12th verse he just read, again, it succinctly sets forth the reason for which we have received the Spirit who is from God. Again, God has freely granted unto us the Spirit that we might know the things that are out from God.
Yes.
And so the emphasis on that last phrase confers the fact that we have received the Spirit in order that we might know the things of God. That is the reason you have the Holy Spirit. Not for you to shout and speak in tongues. And again, I'm not knocking tongues. But the purpose of the Spirit there is He is the communicator. Amen. Because these are things spiritual, not natural. And without Him, you cannot receive these conveyances. So the workings of the Spirit are the teachings of an enablement to know the truth that Jesus Christ has revealed to us, and that truth today is a volume that is known as the mystery.
Yes, yes, yes.
those revelations that are given as instructions to the church,
yes.
Amen, by our apostle. That's our apostle, as the word of God gives testimony, Paul's indeed apostle to Gentiles. Now, this is illustrated in verse 13. Read 13.
Verse 13.
Mm-hmm.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth.
Oh, my God.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Now, the Greek text. Which things we also speak, not in taught words of human wisdom, but in teachings of the Spirit, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Yes.
Again, those of us who minister to God, or the Word of God, if we are going to be in alignment with the Spirit teaching, we must know the difference between the physical and natural sphere of things that are communicated by human wisdom. We have to be able to distinguish those from the spiritual unseen, that which is communicated or discerned only by approved the Spirit of truth.
Yes.
In this verse, Paul speaks to the heart of the issue. It identifies both the mode and the method of communicating spiritual things. So follow me this morning. First, he states the truth, the message of truth, was not derived from human wisdom. As we reference again, Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. So the word of truth is not in words of man's wisdom, such as human philosophy dictates someone being eloquent. Preaching now is almost a joke, except it's not funny because God's people not receiving the spiritual benefits that preaching and teaching was designed for. The origin of truth is not derived from the vices of human wisdom, expressed through words of dazzling and attractive rhetoric as would be employed by those who pride themselves and they major in those things that dazzles the natural mind. Amen. If the ministry is to keep your attention, hopefully is he has the attention of your spiritual mind, and your my God, huh? I mean, I could stand here and I could talk about a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
I could throw in a few jokes and be very entertaining this morning. And some of you would probably buy the tape, and probably won't buy the tape if I do what I'm going to do. But I tell you, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. You know. And those who are the famous preachers and evangelists that come on TV and radio every day, they know that. They understand that. Most of them are great psychologists. Amen. They know what's going to get them over.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Deacon Wallace, as he talked the other night, he had some real good information there. And, you know, we all learn every day. And that was a passage there, a verse of scripture in Galatians. I want you to stop, and I won't go past 1 o'clock. I want you to turn to Galatians here a second. And this, I'm not throwing at you, Deacon. Amen. I go over, you know, the Spirit said go over, we go over. All right, I just have to try to make sure it's the Spirit. All right. Now, in chapter 1, verse 10, Elder, I want you to read that for a second. I'm not going to dwell there, but this is, you brought up that word again. I hadn't used it in a long time. Sidebar. This is a sidebar.
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
For do I now persuade men or God?
All right. Hold it. Hold it. What is this about? What is preaching and teaching about? Is it about him or is it about us?
Yeah.
It's about him. Read.
Or do I seek to please men?
Mm.
For if I yet please men,
if I please men,
I should not be the servant of Christ.
Then I'm not the servant of Christ. I'm the servant of men. Who are we servants of? And who is the minister to be serving? Even though I'm ministering and preaching to you, I'm serving God. And if I'm conveying to you those things that are outside the realm of what the Spirit has determined to convey, then I'm not serving God, even though I might be getting over with you. I'm very serious about this thing. And you know what? It's not about how many people fill up this place. I'm telling you all this morning, that's not my concern. The empty seats are not my concern. It is the ones that are filled. Amen. You receive the essence of what the Spirit of God has for you.
Yes. Thank God.
And I think we're able to convey these truths that we're successful.
That's it.
Whether we got 5 or 5,000.
Amen.
It's not about that. See? And I marked that. And of course, you'll hear from that again as we go back now to where we were in that 13th verse. As I said, there are those who pride themselves in the wisdom of the world, and they have dazzling and attractive rhetoric. And of course, they're rich, they're making money, and some of us wouldn't dare read some of the deep things we're passing out. I mean, you'll peruse them, but you turn on your television and radio every day and listen to these guys and these ladies. And I'm telling you, if it's not the Word of God that the truth as it is delivered instruction-wise to the Grace Church, the revelation of the mystery, those things that are conveyed, amen, the doctrines of salvation, imputation, amen, if you know 5 ways how to get along with your brother and you don't know anything, amen, about justification, amen, you still won't know how to get along with your brother. You see, it starts with our relationship with God, amen, and then it works down to our relationship with each other. But it starts with God. It starts with your salvation. It starts with understanding the workings of God. As the Spirit conveys it to our spirit, we're able to respond.
Amen.
See, the knowledge of divine truth is not traceable to intellect, not mental capacity. Note the opening Greek phrase of verse 13 from the Greek arche lalune. Translated, which also we speak, denotes the things of God that are precise and intelligibly expressed to the spiritual man, and thus to the spirit that easily comprehend it. But such oration, as we said, is not exalted by high and florid language, all dressed up. Amen. Oh my God. full of tropes and figures. Again, the great preacher is not the great orator, even though oration definitely has its place, amen. But I declare to you, what is said is more important than how it's said.
Yeah.
True.
Amen.
What is said?
Yes.
It may dazzle, but does it enlighten? Such utterances are not robed in obscurity, are implored by those studious only in the sense that their conveyances entail Kabbalistic meanings. Big word, no, it's not. Kabbalistic meaning there, this adjective basically saying they know how to fix that thing up, put it in traditional and human terms. And make it familiar with you, something that I can relate to. And so when they're talking, they got your attention because basically this is something you relate to. But the thing is, what is it? Are you relating to it in a physical, natural way, or are you relating to it in a spiritual way? If it's not in a spiritual way, amen, you might as well be at any lecture on any subject that's in the secular world. But if you are, amen, hearing this morning, if you are sitting under sound teaching and sound preaching, it's stretching the spiritual cord.
Amen.
And I know preachers and those pastors, some of them have been to seminaries. And they've studied to justification and perpetuation and all this. Say, man, they don't want to hear that. Do I preach to you what you want to hear? Do I preach to you what the Spirit conveys? I'm not concerned so much about somebody coming and saying, "Woo, I really enjoyed that." I'm kind of suspicious sometimes. People come to me and say, what part of it did you enjoy? Was it the joke I told? Some people, you tell a joke and they go out the door and that's the only thing they remember about what you said is a joke. Amen. But the Spirit is conveying us no joke. No, there's life out there. There's something out there that's waiting for you to destroy you. But the Spirit of God is speaking to you so you can stand in the midst of trouble, stand in the midst of trial, stand in the midst of those things that come against you, because the Spirit has stood you up. Sometimes I wonder, certain some of the things that have befallen me, trials and things, then the Spirit comes in and ministers to me. You can't really minister stuff well if you ain't going through it. Oh my God. Hallelujah. My Lord. Paul said, night and the day in deep. Pearls of waters, pearls of countrymen. Amen. Beat 39 stripes, King James said, as he said, as expressed in those days. Except one of taken outside of Lystra, stone, left for dead, opposition on the left, opposition on the right, amen. Of course, this doesn't sound nothing like the preaching and the teaching of those that's telling you that no weapon formed against you can prosper. Basically, amen, saying that God won't allow nothing to come along and basically put you in an unfavorable position. I look at Apostle Paul. One day when you get a chance, you read that'll chapter of Acts. Here, charges were brought up against him, and they Even in that day, I noticed a basketball star, he put up $25,000. Mm-hmm. Even in that $25,000, he'd been in jail. Mm-hmm. This week.
Yeah.
If you can't make your bond, you went to jail. Mm-hmm. Now, Paul made his bond, he took his bond money and still kept him in jail. Huh? He said, no weapon from the against me can prosper. And Paul stayed in jail 3.5 years just waiting for them to charge him. There were no writs of habeas corpus in those days. Amen. And so, if you were living with Paul, amen, with the mindset that we have today, you'd probably bail out and say, look, God's not with him. God wouldn't allow that. Just say, brother, there's something in your life that you need to get straightened out. Something's wrong. But you see, the Spirit of God, amen, is screaming from eternity and said, hey, the action is in eternity.
Yeah.
Amen. As he was in jail, and of course, it gave him the opportunity to write the greatest epistles. Paul's greatest epistles were from Rich from jail.
Glory. That's it.
Yeah, it was.
Times, God brings out the best.
Yeah.
In his servant after he has put him in the fire.
Yeah.
Put him in to verse circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. When he has made it most convenient, amen, God can use you. God can use him. He can work through you. Oh, my God. So, church is not, should not be based upon what is the most convenient. Of course, churches, they cater to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
My aim is not to make things as convenient for you as possible. Amen. That's not what the ministry is about. It's not a ministry of a convenience. Those who will live God, live what they do, what they will suffer persecution. It goes along with the territory.
Yeah.
I'm getting a little ahead of myself now. All right. So here we note that the emphasis must be on what is spoken, which is traced to the source of the message. Paul identifies the source of the message. Again, used a strong adversative conjunction, but followed by the Greek phrase, akita tis matos, rendered that, that which is taught by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's the only thing that we should be conveying as preachers and teachers. But the thing is that which the Spirit is all about, what his conveyances are, not about our conveyances. Hence, the message was and is the sphere of the teaching of the Spirit. In other words, it is the Spirit of God who teaches the truth of his word. Reference 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. So of a surety, the message of God is received from God and clothed in language given by God. Thus the utterance is in the composition of his Spirit. Now it must be clearly understood that the words which the Holy Spirit imparts to us, the accounts, follow me now, in the language and expressions of the revelations of the Scripture. Follow me closely here. Some may consider this as a very narrow range of the Spirit of truth. And I've been accused of being too narrow. Someone said to me on one occasion, they said, Pastor, why don't you preach from the Psalms or from Proverbs sometime? Amen. Well, we'll go there after we learn this. Except I know that this is a lifetime job. Oh my God. And you'll be just like Paul. He say, I haven't comprehended all this stuff. Amen. But it deals with revelation. What is revealed? What is revealed to the church? What are the instructions to the church? Amen. This is why Paul, who took a narrow review, also used the expression "my gospel" as he conveyed it to a first person singular, and "our gospel" as he conveyed it to first person plural. Amen. And there is a difference. Now, some may consider this, as we say, very narrow. Here the Apostle Paul is referencing the specified course of instructions by which the deep things of God are revealed to the body of Christ. I'm going to repeat that. Paul is referencing, hear me closely now, the specified course of instructions, that which is in the volume of truth called the mystery, that which is inside those 14 epistles of Paul. These are the deep things of God that are intended to be given to the body of Christ. In order for one to comprehend this thought progression, one must be committed to draw a distinct line demarcation between the limited resources of things taught in the Old Testament and the corresponding kingdom message, primarily on the physical plane. I will be passing out something to you within the next couple of weeks that I wrote and I sent up to the school, seminary. They are looking at it and they're going to convey it back to me. I wanted to get their thoughts on a couple of things. But basically, what it says is that preaching and teaching now is been consigned to good storytelling.
Oh, yes.
Good Bible story.
Yeah.
I think Brother Wallace is bringing that out Friday night. And, you know, we've heard all of those stories, and they're true. They're true.
Sure.
But, you know, as I write in the article, it is so much more profitable, follow me now, it is so much profitable to engage you in teachings concerning imputation or justification,
yes,
than it is to utilize the time detailing how the children of Israel went through the Red Sea or Muddy Jordan. It's so much more beneficial to you. Hear me now. Hear me now. It's so much more beneficial to you concentrate your time in the doctrines of reconciliation, of propitiation, than it is to know the details of the children of Israel marching around the walls of Jericho 7 days.
Amen.
Y'all don't hear me this morning. Jesus feeding 5,000 with the barley loaves and the fish. And what we like to hear is somebody read that and say, this is the moral of the story. This is how this relates to other days. So most of the time, when you read that stuff, you look at it closely, it doesn't relate to us today. Oh, I know that's right. And so my problem here, my problem with some is that, and I'm not worried, amen, I'm praying for you, is that it's a matter of you wanting to hear things that you are familiar with. And when you say things that you're familiar with, you mean in a natural sense. But I got news for you. This is not about physical and natural. This is about spiritual.
Right.
It's about spiritual. And so, the deep things of God are those things that the Holy Spirit intends to communicate unto you, and they are not found in the Old Testament or in the synoptic gospels, those Acts of the Apostles, amen. And I hate to keep referring back to what Wallace was saying Friday night, is that why those things are good to know and they are for us, that's not the area that you go into for doctrine, for teaching, for instruction. Some things Paul didn't even deal with. He didn't deal with the life of Jesus. He dealt with the result of Jesus and the things that he did. For our gospel begins at Calvary, amen. But you see no account of Paul, amen, dealing with Jesus' ministry to the Jews while he was incarnate in flesh on earth. Amen. That had its place, and those who were assigned to convey that, they did so, amen. But Paul is different, and no, he is not just the 12th apostle, amen. And no, that was not a bogus election in the first chapter of Acts, amen, when they chose Matthias. Matthias served all the way to the day he died because he was a faithful servant, amen, even before then. But Paul is different. God knocked him off of his beast. Gave him the revelation, which is are the instructions for the church. Give me 3 minutes. So those things that are taught in the Old Testament, are you with me? Are you with me? And the kingdom message, and in those areas of the Bible, outside of those epistles, are primarily on the physical plane.
Yes, yes.
While the composition of grace, mystery, truth, as it was revealed to Paul, strictly on the spiritual plane, and that's why most of them don't go into those epistles, because Paul is not talking about hot dogs and hamburgers. Amen. He's not talking about cars. Amen. He's not talking about anything physical that you can see, that you can taste, that you can touch, that you can physically handle. So they don't want any part of it. But the clarity, all of the seen things have passed away. Amen. It is the unseen things that are everlasting and eternal. Give God a hand, praise. Now, I don't know how long the Lord is going to let me operate here, the realm of this ministry. And I'm not worried about it. Whatever His will is, His will is. But I declare every moment of it that God will continue to bless me with the mindset that He's given me. It's going to be utilized for bringing the truth. And the curriculum here are the salvational doctrines that basically entail the work that God did in eternity before He ever created us. And so, no, there are times we'll go into other areas of the Bible as a corroborator. Like there are many corroborators. Paul used them. Talked about the scriptures all the time. But he didn't major there. See, it's a difference in what you're majoring in. Paul's assertion here is that he and his associates spoke what the Spirit directly taught them. The teachings and subject matter previously unknown.
That's right.
Thus, the doctrines by revelation. Now words, I said this and down, words are the conveyances of thoughts. Hear me now. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Words are the conveyances of thoughts. And if God designed that His truth should be accurately expressed in human language, it follows that there must be supervisions, divine supervision, over the word usage.
All right.
I think I said that again.
All right.
Words are the conveyances of thoughts, and if God designed that His truth should be accurately expressed in human language, it follows that there must be divine supervision over word usage. The role of the Spirit of truth in this sense is paramount, and He must be employed if accuracy is to be expressed. The conveyance of accuracy is the underlying evidence of truth as the intended expression of the will, plan, and purpose of God. And next week we'll start here where the latter phrase of this verse reads, pneumatikia, synklinundas, which is translated comparing spiritual with spiritual, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Amen. Everybody says spiritual.
Spiritual.
Give the Lord a hand.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, give the Lord another hand. Amen.
Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Thank God the fact, hallelujah, for the purpose of dwelling in the essence of Christ, hallelujah. The word that you heard today, amen, the gospel of the grace of God, perhaps there's one or several that would like to make testimony to what God did for you in eternity. Understand that salvation was completed in eternity, but perhaps there's someone that after you've heard the words of grace today, if you would like to come forward now and make testimony to what God has already done for you, amen. And maybe the manifestation may be today, amen. And that's okay, thank God. What God did in eternity is manifesting now in time. So perhaps is there one, you can now come, is there one? Is there one? Amen. Hallelujah. Salvation is of the Lord. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Amen. Is there one? Amen. Is there one? Amen. Perhaps it's one that, hallelujah, you have heard the words of grace. Hallelujah. You're a member of the body of Christ, but if you do not have an affiliation with a church home, the Bible does tell us that our gospel tells us that you're not to forsake the assembly.